Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
When he creates a new heaven and new earth, there won't be these oceans, these big Pacific, Atlantic, and all of the Mediterranean, all of these other oceans that you see, these large bodies of water, because the Bible says there'll be no more sea. The seas, the oceans divide people. There's a lot more to it than that. I could stay all morning on this part. The seas divide people. Well, during the new heaven and earth, there will be no division. We're all going to be one. Matter of fact, while I'm talking about that, turn me to, I want you to see something. I was going to talk about it later, but this is a good time to talk about it. In Zephaniah chapter number 3. Let's begin in verse number 8 and 9. I want to draw something to the attention that a lot of people probably overlooked, and I showed this to Dennis this morning. Zephaniah 3. Remember, he's creating a new heaven and a new earth. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, unto the day that I will rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. Again, this is talking about the tribulation, gather everything together, and then at the end of the millennium, all of these nations come together and God destroys the unbelievers. All that's entailing here. Upon even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Verse number 9, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. That word consent literally means all together in one mind, shoulder to shoulder. Okay, the reason I brought that here at this time, when he says there's no more sea, there will be no division among people. And for eternity, the Bible talks about, I will turn to the people a pure language. Again, you see that the word language means lips. I believe in eternity, we will all be speaking the same language, pure language. I doubt very seriously it's going to be English, because I can't even talk it well. I don't know. Hebrew, I don't know. I don't even want to speculate. But whatever God started with Adam, again, this is my thought. I always think about this every time I give you my opinion. I let you know it's my opinion. I went to Bible college years ago. I went to Bible college in 1994, 1995, 1996, somewhere in that. That's a long time ago, 1994, 1995, 1996. Yeah, because I went to Kenya in 97. But anyway, one of my favorite Bible teachers, Dr. Rick Adams, he said, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has two and they both stink. I've never forgotten that. So when you stand up in the pulpit, you tell somebody, this is your opinion, not from God's word, it's just my opinion. It could stink, but anyway, about this pure language. I believe whatever God and Adam, whatever they spoke, again, it wasn't English, it wasn't Hebrew, because Abraham was the first Jew. I don't know. I won't speculate. But I do know the Bible says that they're going to turn to people a pure language, where we started with, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. In other words, we will not be speaking different languages in eternity. Are y'all following that?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's pretty clear. I don't know what the language is. The Bible does not say, and we'll find out. I do know we won't have to go to language school. Amen. When I went to Kenya, I had to go to language school to speak Kiswahili. I still speak Kidogo too a little bit. You know, I've forgotten a lot because I haven't been over there. Danny can speak Thailand. He learned a little bit, but he had to learn it. Okay. Let me give you a sideline here. What time is it? Oh, sideline here. There hasn't been a Bible tongue spoken in almost 2,000 years. Since when the Bible was completed, tongues were done away with. As people spoke in tongues, yeah, but they're not Bible tongues. Okay, that's a whole other story about tongues. These tongues are languages. All that you read about in the Bible, it talks about they speak in an unknown tongue. They speak in another language. It's not some gibberish or some jabbering that people would use today. They were in a known language at the time that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would speak. Let me give you an illustration. I would be in Thailand. I wouldn't know a word. Only thing I know in Thailand is Sawadee Kap. I've learned that so many times. I've been to, that means hello. I forget what it means. I just know it's a word out there. Swatikop, you know. Anyway, if I was in Thailand, the Holy Ghost would come upon me and give me the ability to speak Thai without going to language school. That ability is done away with because everybody goes to Thailand now. If they learn the language, they got to learn the Thai language, which I had a good time with Pentecostals when I was in Kenya because they believe in speaking in tongues, but they had to go to language school. That's a whole another story. Okay, so during the millennium, people will be speaking because we got all every tribe, every tongue, every language. We read that. However, when we get to eternity, we're all going to be speaking one language, one tongue. Now, you may or may not believe that, but I'm certain of it, that we're all going to be one. No more sea, no more different languages. The Bible talks about a pure language, clear language. How many of y'all think I'm crazy? Don't raise your hand. Don't. Verse number 2. And I underline this in my Bible where it says, I, John. That's an interesting, that just ought to blow your mind. Where he says, and I, John, saw the holy city. This is the first time since chapter number 1, John has referred to himself by name. He was so caught up in what he was seeing. Literally, if we could see this, and I'm not a Greek scholar, we have some around here. Literally, in our vernacular, he would say, and I, John, I'm a witness to this. You don't see that till the first chapter in the book of Revelation where he talks about I, John. It's just, and I underlined that because it has a special meaning. John saw it. He was a witness to this. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I'm going to leave that because we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks to talk more about what New Jerusalem is. It describes New Jerusalem in chapter number 21 as it more detail. So we'll leave that off about the walls and all until we get to that section of Scripture. But I want you to see, it's coming down out of heaven. Now, again, there's a lot of debate. Where is this new heaven going to be? Is it going to be floating above the earth in our atmosphere? Or is it going to actually settle down in Jerusalem, wherever Jerusalem is? I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I thought I used to know. But the more I study some of the things I thought I know and some things, well, I'm just not sure now. Because there's both, there's great, I won't say arguments, but great points on both sides. Whether I used to think it was suspended out of heaven. That's what I was taught. My dad taught that. Everybody was taught it came down from heaven and it's kind of suspended. And it could be. It very well could be. But there's some other things talking about this New Jerusalem. It's going to settle right back here where Jerusalem is no longer the old Jerusalem. It's New Jerusalem. And that, at the height and all it is. And that's a whole other story. I just, you know, I hate to say I'll be honest with you. I hate using that term. Because when somebody says, I'll be honest with you, well, preacher, does that mean you wasn't honest before? So I have to say, yeah, you just watch it. We say, I'll be honest with you. Well, you wasn't honest before then, no. So I just want you, I don't know. I just don't know. The Bible is not definite on it, but we know it comes down from God out of heaven. I'm still leaning toward, because it's hard to shake old things. And if Daddy said it, it must be so. If you knew my dad, it's hard to shake. If Daddy said it, man, that's the gospel. But I'm going to preach this morning on something that is called He Said It. Speaking of Jesus. Now, Jesus is the only one who's infallible. Jesus, He said, that's the title of my sermon. I think it's He Said It. Greg, do you have that? Is it He Said It? Yeah. Jesus is the only one who's infallible. He said it. But Daddy was, to me, for you who don't know Daddy, my dad, he was this close to the Lord. He was that close. Not just spiritually, but his Bible knowledge is blew everybody away. It's where I got most all my doctrine in theology. It's hard to sit under somebody for 50 years and not learn something.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.